no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
Well, good morning and welcome to West End Church. We are so glad that you are here with us this morning for worship. Hear these words from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, where we read this. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to you who were near. This has been the theme for several years now for our Mission Emphasis Week as we celebrate that good news that God has given us and empowers us to share near and far. This year, we will be celebrating Mission Emphasis Week by having a special emphasis on the work that God is partnering with us to do right here in West Michigan through our partnership with Classes Grand Rapids North and ministries supported by Classes Grand Rapids North. And so this morning, we welcome Reverend Cody Zeiderveen from Grand Valley State University's Campus Ministry. And next week, we'll have Reverend Jerome Burton from Coit Avenue Community Church. And so we are just so thrilled to be able to celebrate what God is doing in this world. It is good to celebrate that God gives us a mission and that God empowers us and equips us to share his good news near and far. So let's stand and celebrate that good news together. Thank you.
to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
Creator God, you gave me breath so I could praise your great and matchless name all my days, all my days. So let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. Never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every in this broken land.
Please be seated.
Well, at this time, any kids ages 3 and 4 years old are welcome to make their way down to children's worship. All kids, we do ask all kids be checked in. There is the check-in station right off. If you're facing the front of the worship center, down those stairs to the left. But kids ages 3 and 4 years old are welcome to make their way down to children's worship. And then as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, this is Mission Emphasis Week, the beginning of it. This is that time each year where we stop and we remember how God has partnered with us and how we have partnered with God to bring his word around the world. And so we do that through our Faith Promise Fund. And this year, it's just, as with so many other things, there's a lot of things that are different. And this year, Mission Emphasis Week is one of them. There's things that we can't do that we have often done, like an international dinner with opportunities to sort of connect with various mission organizations that we support. And so I do want to just take a moment and point out those of you who are here in person. Chris Stephen Kiken is here from Liberia. If you haven't had the chance yet to connect with her, please make sure you take a moment and just connect with Christy and hear more about why she's home and what God is doing with her while she's here and what God is doing in Liberia through her ministry. If you get the chance today after church, talk to Cody, find out more about what's happening with Grand Valley State University Campus Ministries. And I just want to encourage all of us to just take a few moments when we have the chance, reach out, say hi to our missionaries, send them an email, send them a text message, just let them know that we are thinking of them and praying for them. We do have these Faith Promise Pledge forms. We have them physically available on the Connection Center. You can grab them there if you are here in person. It was also emailed out to you if you are on West End's email list for a digital means of filling out the form. And we're going to make sure, for those of you watching online, we're going to make sure that we get that form put in the comments on the Facebook and YouTube feed so that you can participate with our Faith Promise Pledge form. And we just invite you to pray, to wonder, to ask how God might be leading you to give financially to support the Faith Promise Fund of West End Church, how God might be prompting you to pledge your support for the mission work done through our partner organizations. And it's along those lines that we are reminded this morning that every week we have this opportunity to give and to respond to God's faithfulness in our lives by giving back just a portion of what he's given to us. We have boxes located at the back of the sanctuary in the narthex area on the way to the fellowship center. There is a box by the north balcony stairs that you can put your gift in for the second offering. This week is for the Faith Promise Fund, which we use to meet those pledges that we make for our missionary giving. And so we also can give online. And so we invite you to respond to God's faithfulness in your life by giving back what he's given to us. And then as we come before God in prayer this morning, I just want to add one more update that didn't make it onto the bulletin because it's just the most recent news, which is we want to praise God that Ralph Verbeek is out of the ICU and is in a step-down unit as of this morning. And so we just want to give thanks and praise for that. And also, the other wonderful piece of good news that Doris had is that the doctors have been able to locate and identify what virus it was that was causing the infection. And now that they know exactly what's causing the infection, they can be better equipped to treat it. And so we just are so thankful with Ralph and Doris. But we know that Ralph has a long journey ahead of him. Both Ralph and Doris together have a lot of decisions that have to be made about his long-term care. So we just want to continue to pray for and support Ralph and Doris. And then one last thing before we go to God in prayer. I know it's in the bulletin, but the bulletin, we don't get hard copy right now. So I just want to make sure to point out, make sure to say happy birthday to that young lady right there, Alma Kuiper, as she celebrates her 90th birthday this week. Happy birthday, Alma. Let's go before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise that we can come into your presence because of what you have done for us, because you love us, because you embrace us and call us your children. And so, God, as we come together, we know that as a body, we have cares and concerns that weigh on our heart and on our mind. We think especially this week of those who are hurting, those who are struggling. We pray for Ralph and Doris. We thank you for the good news for Ralph, and we just rejoice with that good news, but we pray for his continued recovery in the days and weeks ahead. We pray for the decisions that have to be made, that you would give wisdom and peace to Doris and the whole family as they make those decisions. God, we pray for your peace and your comfort for those who are grieving. We think especially this week of the Kappendyke family and of the DeVries family. We pray that they would feel your presence, that they would feel your comfort and your sympathy and your peace as they grieve the loss of Todd, as they grieve the loss of John. And for all of those who are grieving right now, God, I just pray that you would help them to be aware of, to know your presence in the midst of their hurt and their pain. God, we also rejoice with the good news. The good news can seem to be hard to find right now, but we know that you are working in and around and through us all over the place, and we just rejoice for all that is good. We thank you that Dan was able to return home and recover at home. We pray for his ongoing health and recovery. We thank you for the chance to celebrate milestones and milestone birthdays and milestone anniversaries and all of those gifts that we are just so thankful for, those earthly reminders of your enduring faithfulness. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just hold in front of us your vision of what you are doing in the world and how you are inviting us to be a part of it. We thank you for the mission that you give us as individuals, the mission you give us as a church, and the ways that you invite us to partner around the world and locally, far and near. And so, God, we pray for the work that our missionaries are doing, and we just pray that you would strengthen them and equip them for that work. Today, we pray especially for the work of Audio Scripture Ministries, for the work of Nancy Tenbrook and World Renew in Bangladesh, for the work of Jim and Ruth Padilla DeBorst in Costa Rica, for the work of His Place Ministries here in West Michigan, and for the work of Grand Valley Campus Ministries. God, we thank you for all that you have done through them, especially in this unusual and difficult time, and we pray for wisdom and strength for the work that you will lead them to do. And Heavenly Father, as we turn now to consider your word, I pray that you would give us eyes to see what you would have us see, ears to hear what you would have us hear, but most of all, hearts to love as you would have us love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite Cody to come up, and Cody will be delivering God's word to us this morning. And if we can just welcome Cody from Grand Valley Campus Ministries. Thanks for being here, Cody.
Good morning. As Pastor Corey said, my name is Cody Zeiderveen. I know many of you here this morning, and I'm grateful for it. It is always good to be back at West End Church, and I'm excited to be here this morning to study the Word of the Lord together and see what He has for us in what has been kind of strange times, times that are good to have something as foundational as the Word of God to guide us forward and call us onward in our walk with Him. Campus ministry, alongside everything else, has been kind of crazy this year. We decided to divide our ministry of normally roughly 900 students into 8 neighborhoods, and every staff member, from the worship director to kind of the person that welcomes and engages new students to campus ministers, we all have one neighborhood that's something of our parish, if you will, in the older model of church, where we care for and we engage a smaller group of students. Practically, that means on a night like tonight, we're going to hold about 8 different gatherings of students to worship the Lord. We can't do it in song on campus right now, but through studying His Word and living accordingly. We've held worship gatherings outdoors, weather permitting, and now we're diving in to see what it looks like to do ministry under pretty challenging restrictions but in the way that the Lord has provided for us to continue to engage students and challenge them to keep going, to keep living in faithful obedience to the Lord. And so we're excited about that, and we're so grateful for our partnership with you and the way that that equips us to continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And the way we've been doing that this year is by learning what it means to love God on the one hand and love our neighbor on the other. We've been doing that through the parables and looking at what it would be like on earth in this time, just as it is in heaven. How do we live into that? How do we embrace that? And how do we pursue it together? So it's been a really exciting year, even in the middle of the challenges. And I'm excited to see what the Lord has remaining for us in the year that's left. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be opening up to Matthew chapter 5. And as you do that, I just want to name one of the great sadnesses for me this year has been the way that I have heard my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ speak to and speak about one another on the whole array of contemporary issues. It has been in such a way that I would say compromises, if not at the very least jeopardizes, our witness as the church to the life-changing love and grace of God. I was once told a story, I think somewhat anecdotally, about a gathering of Christian leaders who had gathered together over dinner. And as the waitress came by with the platter of drinks, as it sometimes does, it started to tip, and a glass fell right on the lap of one of the leaders there. And immediately he began to berate and insult and put down this young lady and sent her away to find a towel to clean this mess up. And as she walked away, his friend and the guy sitting right next to him, also a pastor and prominent Christian leader, leaned over and said, "I dare you to witness to that young lady when she comes back." And he couldn't, right? He couldn't. The words and the way he had said them had totally eliminated any chance of witnessing to the life-changing love of God. And so it's my hope and it's my prayer that that not be true of us. And so it's with that in mind that we turn to Matthew 5 this morning to study the word of the Lord and see in times like these, contentious times like these, how shall we live that bears witness to Christ? A friend of mine just called me earlier this week and said she was going to quarantine for a while, because she had had a friend over the night before, and when he woke up in the morning, he was no longer able to taste anything. And as all of us probably know by now, when you wake up in the morning and you can't taste your food, it's because you have COVID. And it's this totally weird, one of the weirder things that are happening, that you can go to bed totally fine one night and wake up not so great the next morning. That you can't even taste your food. It's as if they've taken all the salt, all of the flavor out of the food. And so these are kind of strange times, kind of perplexing times, disorienting times. I would say these are times that are uniquely suited for us, for Christians, for people who know what it means to have hope. I love the way our contemporary testimony, "Our world belongs to God," says it in the very opening lines. It says, as followers of Christ, living in this world which some seek to control and others view in despair, we declare in trust and with joy that our world belongs to God. What a time for a world, for a word like this, that our world, your world and mine, belongs to God. That when we're in this craziness, and your family and your community and your friends are divided by COVID and quarantines, masks and not masks, politics and personalities and plans and policies, and everything is trying to pull us apart, and we stand together and say, our world belongs to God. And in light of that truth, that our world belongs to God, the testimony goes on to say that Jesus Christ rules over all. And as his followers, to follow this Lord is to serve him wherever we are, not fitting in as light in the darkness and as salt. As salt in a spoiling world. We live in a world that is literally and spiritually losing its sense of taste. And you and I know this foundational truth. When you can't taste something, add more salt. When you can't taste something, sprinkle a little on, pour it on, dump it on if you must. It needs more salt. The world knows this to be true physically when you can't taste something. The church knows this to be true spiritually. When the world is losing its spiritual sense of taste, add more salt. And that's where we turn to our passage from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under feet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You, West End Church, are the salt of the earth. I love that. Not you have, not you can be, not you should be. You are the salt of the earth. In other words, it's not your words or even your actions or your stances, though those things add up. It's not any of those things that make the salt of the earth. You, yourself, you are the salt of the earth. And so it is that in the way that you live, you are to be salt. And salt is needed for so many things, right? It flavors and it enhances. It cleanses and it purifies. I was reading in the Old Testament, and it describes salt as something that brightens the lamps used in the temple. And when I was looking at the Harvard Journal earlier this week, it was talking about salt as something that is needed to both contract your muscles and to allow them to relax. Isn't that amazing? Salt even is needed by humanity to be strong and to rest. And I've heard lots of sermons on this text from lots of preachers that will pick one of these things and they'll talk about it with really great effect. But here's what I want you to know this morning. Salt has the ability within it to benefit in immense ways that which is around it. Salt, inherent in itself, is a blessing to that which is around it. And you and I are called to be salt. But how is it, I'm asking this morning, how is it that you and I can be salty in a world like the one we find ourselves in? What does that look like to be salt in a world that is perishing, in a world that is losing its sense of taste? And if you still have your Bibles open, I invite you to lift your eyes just a few verses up to verse 3 of chapter 5. And to set the context, it tells us right in the opening verses that Jesus, seeing the crowd gather around him, he goes up on a mountain and the disciples gather around him and he begins to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in Spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. And it's as if Jesus steps aside and he says, these are the kind of people that are blessed. These are the kind. They're the ones that are poor in spirit. They're the ones who mourn. They're the ones who hunger and thirst. They're the meek. In other words, they're the people that don't see anything in themselves and see everything in someone else. They see everything in him. They see everything in the Lord. And so they don't depend on themselves. No, they're depending on him. And in so doing, they are called blessed. And they are made to be blessed. And then he goes on from there and he says, these type of people, these four types of people that I described, this then is how they live by way of blessing. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. It's as if he keeps raising the bar higher and higher. Blessed are the pure in heart, those that at the very center of their being are pure by the grace of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, not even just the peacekeepers. No, that is insufficient for a salty bunch of Christ followers like ourselves. No, blessed are the peacemakers, those who actively go out to places of division and divide and hostility. They seek it out, and it's there in those places that they bring the peace of Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then we see this shift in our Lord's sermon. Because it's as if he had almost been looking off in the distance and said, you know, blessed are they, the pure in heart. Blessed are they, the poor in spirit. Blessed are they, the meek. And then all of a sudden, it's as if he turns and he looks at you right in the pew where you sit, right where you find yourself this morning, and he turns to you and says, blessed are you. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my behalf. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you are the salt of the earth. And so we come full circle all the way back to where we began. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? Jesus lays it out for us in the Beatitudes. He lays it out for us that the salty people, are those who are not depending on themselves, but are depending on God. They're not weak people. No, they're meek. They're people who bear one another with patience and with grace, with long suffering. They're people who are merciful because they know the mercy and the grace that they've received, and so it shapes everything that they say and do. These are salty people. This is what it means to be the salt of the earth. And it's to this that we are called. And when we live into this, when we reflect this sort of living, it stands out as salt to a tasteless world. When we live this way, the world can't help but notice. Because it's going to stand out. It's going to be different. It's going to taste different. And this is the life to which we are called. This is the way we are to live. Because the world is decaying, but you are not. The world is losing its sense of taste, but you are not. You are the salt of the earth. A.W. Tozer captures this so well in his classic, The Pursuit of God, that he wrote decades ago. And he says, a fairly accurate description of the human race might be furnished to one who is unacquainted with it by taking the Beatitudes, turning them wrong side out, and saying, here is your human race. And this is where he gets a little pointed. He says, instead of poverty of spirit, we find the rankest kind of pride. Instead of mourners, we find pleasure seekers. Instead of meekness, arrogance. Instead of hunger for righteousness, we hear men saying, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Instead of mercy, we find cruelty. Instead of purity of heart, corrupt imaging. Instead of peacemakers, we find men quarrelsome and resentful. Instead of rejoicing in mistreatment, we find them fighting back with every weapon at their command. When I'm talking about a tasteless world, this is what I'm talking about. This is a world that is losing its sense of taste, that has had the salt shaken and sifted right out of it. But God, in His great mercy, has seen fit to shake and to sift and to dump a whole church load of salt right back in, right back into a world that is decaying, right back in to a world that is losing its sense of taste. But God has seen fit to place you, the church, smack dab in the middle of it, that you can live in such a way that is poor in spirit, that is seeking after righteousness, that is meek, that is merciful, in order that we might make peace in a world that so badly needs to be enriched and preserved by the salt of the earth. The world needs us, church. The world needs us to be the salt, because you are the salt of the earth. So this week, as you go, be salty. As you go, be the salt of the earth. As you go in your social media pursuits, be salty. As you chase after God, be the salt of the earth. As you speak with your neighbors, be salt. As you discuss politics, be salt. As you encourage and as you confront, do it with the flavor of one who is the salt of the earth. And may your meekness and may your humility and may your hunger for righteousness preserve and enrich and purify this world where more and more people are waking up every morning realizing that they have lost their sense of taste. We are the church. We are the salt of the earth. And Jesus said to them, and he says to us, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that this would be true of us this week, that the world would see and taste something different because we witness to a hope that is so much greater than any found in this world. The image that keeps coming to my head and to my heart is that out of Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, the prophet saw the Lord seated on his throne. God, may that be the vision that we have this week and every week, and live in light of that, that you are still on your throne, that our world still belongs to you, that Jesus Christ still rules over all. And so we follow in obedience, and we love and we serve in obedience. God, help us to do it well. And we pray and we know that we cannot do it apart from your grace. So, Lord, we pray that your body and your blood would enliven us to be able to live out this blessed sort of life that we're called to. So, God, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the Spirit. Lord, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
In a world which some seek to control and others view with despair, Jesus showed that the world belongs to him by giving his own life on the cross, by demonstrating the full extent of his love, by giving himself for us. And Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he gathered with his disciples. And when he had given thanks, he took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup of blessing, and he blessed it. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Friends, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. We declare that Christ has died, that Christ is risen, that Christ will come again. And that because of that, we have new life in him. New life by which we are the salt of the earth. Friends, this is not the table of West End Church. It's not the table of the Christian Reformed Church. It's the table of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, friends, you are invited to this table to be reminded again of Christ's death. In our tradition, we call this a sign and a seal. It's a symbol of what God has done. It's a reminder of Jesus' death, but it is also more than just a memorial, more than just a remembrance. It is also, we declare, a means by which God feeds us and nourishes us and strengthens us in our faith. And so, friends, as you made your way in, you hopefully were given one of these communion packets. If you are watching us online this morning, I invite you to grab something to eat and something to drink, because we know that it's not the specific bread or the specific type of what we drink, but it is how they remind us of Christ's death. And so as we sing this first song, we're going to remain where we are, and as we sing, I invite you, as you feel led, to open that top lid and take and eat. Remember and believe that the body of Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let's celebrate that as we sing and remember together.
faithful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men?
Likewise, as we sing, as you reflect on Christ's death, take, drink, remember, and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed for the complete forgiveness of all our sins.
Singing, how
sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burdens to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Sing, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
And with the ransomed in glory, His face I at last shall see.
How marvelous. The psalmist tells us, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. That is a word that is needed in a world like ours, that there is something better than this. And it is the Lord's love. And as you go proclaiming that love, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen.
Sing, how marvelous, oh. Amen. Have a great week. Go in peace. Taste of His goodness, find what you're looking for.
is waiting there with open arms.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. So loved the world.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yes, will you use this at home? I never could get these things open, right?